It's Sunday morning, and that wonderfully relaxed feeling of a long, lazy day lingers in the air. If you want to make the moment last, may I suggest the perfect solution? The Martin Sheen Podcast. Join me, your host, Martin Sheen, for beautifully crafted 20-minute programs filled with never-before-heard stories of my life, along with personal reflections and poetry that inspires. The Martin Sheen Podcast is the perfect Sunday refresh, a chance to take a deep breath, relax, and know that the stress of Monday may be just around the corner, but not here, not now. So make this your weekly moment of calm as we explore faith, hope, love, and what it means to be human. And know this, this journey is ever unfolding as I invite you to see what's next with me, Martin Sheen, and thank you.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Welcome to the last Start Me Up podcast of 2025, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is the lovely, the beautiful, the talented Jody Hamilton of the Politics Bar. We love Jody. She's so freaking awesome. She's easy like Sunday morning. I love talking to her. And of course, we have so much to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my final conversation of the year with Jody Hamilton. Welcome back to the show, Jody.
Thank you, Kimberly.
I am out of it today because Wednesday? Monday, I went and I got a flu shot, RSV shot, and a pneumonia shot, which found out. My mother told me that she asked the pharmacist, the pharmacist told her, you don't need to get the pneumonia shot every year, which I did get it last year, and they didn't tell me that this time. So whatever. But yeah, I recommend to everybody
that you just have to get. I thought, by the way, 60 was when you were supposed to get it, but I haven't had mine yet.
Well, whatever, I got it. And I felt like I was so out of it yesterday. I've never experienced that much of a reaction. So it felt similar to like COVID shots are like I either get it or I feel okay. Right. And so I felt okay sometimes, and then other times I would feel that weird achy feeling, and then that's what I was feeling this time. And I was so tired. Oh my God, yesterday I was so tired. But I'm better today. I'm just cloudy. So everybody's just going to have to deal with me being cloudy on my last show of the year, which you're on.
Yay!
And I'm just blabbing about myself. How are you, Jody?
I'm okay. It's been a couple of weeks, you know. Yeah. Two people I didn't know, Mr. Reiner, that well, but I did know Jim, so that sucked. For both of them. And then Jill Sobule earlier this year, so
yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a worse year in 2022. I lost 9 people, so.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a shitty year.
Wow. Well, this has been a hard year for so many reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of all the obvious political and moral goings on, immoral goings on. I mean, I've talked about this before, but one of the things, and for anybody who loves foxes, you guys all know that I am a big fan of the Save a Fox Rescue, and Michaela, who ran it, committed suicide earlier this year.
Oh,
and
yeah, God.
It was awful. It was fucking awful because she was borderline personality and also autistic.
Okay.
She was doing everything she could. She was taking meds and everything, but it just wouldn't help. And then the reason she wound up taking her own life was because she was trying to save all these foxes from a fur farm. And the fur farms and other rescues, actually, unfortunately, were bullying her. And she was unable to handle it. And it was just,
damn.
It was devastating because she's been a part of my life probably since 2020. And, you know, she's like a modern day Dr. Doolittle, she was. And I think because she had the mental illness, she was so able to communicate with animals. I mean,
right.
they loved her and you could see it. And
right.
you couldn't tell by listening to her or looking at her that she had this mental illness, but
okay.
it was just devastating.
It's usually not visual.
Right.
I mean,
right. Like, yeah, she didn't display, I mean, not that we would see on camera. She always looked happy and,
right.
you know,
right.
but I mean, okay, so I'm going to start this off and we're going to talk about Rob Reiner, but I think this show is just going to go all over the map. We're going to have some
okay.
politics. We're just going to have whatever. So, yeah, that was, this is the first time I've been in front of a microphone since this has happened. And,
oh, wow.
I know that, like, I just want to ask you, because I know, like, you have met him, I believe it was through Stephanie Miller, right?
Yes, yes.
And I just want you to talk about a little bit from what you know.
Well,
anything you want to say?
Well, I mean, he was always very gracious to me when I would see him, both him and Michelle. I was at one dinner party, and Lonnie couldn't go because Stephanie was keeping it very close to the vest.
Right.
And I think it was the first time I met Malcolm Nance.
Hmm.
And I've never seen so many people be super quiet around Malcolm because nobody shut up. It was just nobody said a word while he was talking.
Yeah.
But he actually, my mom told me a very sweet thing that he said to her regarding me. They ran into each other in New York years ago. I don't know when exactly. It was pre-COVID. And they were backstage somewhere. I don't know what show they were seeing, but, you know, they ran into each other. And he walked up to her and they pleasantries were exchanged. And then he said, by the way, your daughter on Stephanie's show is really with it and really smart.
Aww.
And really like listening to her. And I thought that was really, he didn't have to say that, you
right.
know, and that was, I thought that was really, really sweet of him. And I mean, when my mom told me that, I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, he just was just bragging on you. I'm like, that
Aww.
Was very nice of him.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember telling him a story about his dad. And I will keep it very short because it can get very descriptive if I want to. Basically, Lonnie and I went to go see Mrs. Reiner, Rob's dad, mom, perform at the Gardenia in West Hollywood because she used to do it in the mid-80s. And my sister Carrie and I used to go see her. And we ran into them at a party. And I said, oh, I love seeing you sing. She goes, oh, we're going to do it again. And so they put us on the list, which was generous because it was like $30 for the two of us to get in. So mm-hmm. right there, we'd save $30. And so, yay. And met a bunch of lovely people that were at the restaurant, and so we ordered food and really good food there. And when we were getting, we asked for the check, our server said, no, Mr. and Mrs. Reiner took it.
Oh, wow.
Which couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do, I mean, they knew everybody in the room pretty much. And I know they didn't pay for everybody's meal. And so I told that story to Mr. Reiner, the junior, at an event that I saw him at, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. It was before his dad passed away. And his dad was being honored, but he wasn't there. And so I walked up and I reintroduced myself. He goes, no, I know who you are. And thank you. And I said, by the way, I need to tell you a story about your dad. And when I told him that, he just grinned ear to ear. And he goes, that's my dad. And I said, yeah. And I said, please give him my love. And he goes, I absolutely will.
So,
you know, he was, you know, I mean, Mr. Reiner was just, he and his wife were just, you know, amazing human mm-hmm. beings. And their son is being charged with 2 counts of first degree murder with special circumstances, which means our current DA wants to seek the death penalty, even though it's on hold.
Ugh.
And I'm against it. And I believe his parents were.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I can't even imagine how his sisters and brother, how Nick's sisters and brother are feeling. But I don't think he should get the death penalty. This person is mentally ill, which is probably why he had substance abuse issues. I think the death penalty, he's not going to hurt anybody else. Obviously, anybody, he's on suicide watch as far as I know right now,
right,
which is why he wasn't in court yesterday. He's got a very good lawyer. But I feel terrible for that family, those kids, you know. I mean, luckily their oldest sister, Tracy, is 61 and lost her mom a few years back. Her mom was Penny Marshall. So I assume that the younger kids are looking to her, unfortunately for her, but, you know, because these people are in their mid 30s and late 20s, you know, they're babies. And it's hard enough when you're in your 50s or 60s, but when you're that young and it's sudden like this, I can't even fathom. Stephanie asked me yesterday, what do I say to Jake? Because I guess she's got his phone number. And she says, what do I do? And I said, well, don't bother him right now. Right now he's getting inundated with all sorts of stuff that you're not prepared for. And my brother Joe died suddenly. So for me, once I got the phone call, my initial reaction was, I'm going down to San Diego to see my brother Jeffrey, because those two were like two peas in a pot. And I just got in the car and drove. And so I told Stephanie, I said, look, what I suggest you do is wait a few more days, text him and just say, hey, I'm thinking about you. No need to get back to me. And leave it at that. Because a friend of mine's girlfriend killed herself on a cruise ship not too long ago.
Oh, my God.
She jumped overboard. And and my friend witnessed it. And so when I heard about it, I was like, what? I mean, he was taken for questioning because, you know, he was in the room when it happened. He's been cleared of any wrongdoing because she did jump. But, you know, as soon as he got back to shore, I texted him. I said, hey, man, I'm thinking about you. No need to get back. Because that way they know you're thinking about them. But don't, you know, that's what happened when Hal Sparks' dad died. I said, I'm just thinking about you. All my love. You do not need to get back to me. And I left it at that, you know. It's done. And so I think that's the best thing for Stephanie to do. I know she's going through some stuff, and luckily she's going to go see her best friend, Wanda, who is a shrink. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah.
You know, she'll get to talk to her about this in a different way, you know?
It's just, I mean, I have a friend, and this is such a strange story, but she said her whole life, she would dream of her mother and sister dying in a car accident. Then as an adult, it happened. She told me that, you know, she said everybody would come up to me and say, I'm sorry. And she's like, I got so sick of hearing that. And it's, of course, she understood that that's what people say. But as the person who's going through it, it's one person after another saying exactly the same thing. And now I think about that every time. You know, I will say that I'm sorry, because it's true. It's like we all understand, whether we've gone through it or not, grief. So, you know, I mean, we're all sorry about it. But, and she, like I said, she didn't mean it like she was criticizing people. She just meant it like it just got to be too much. And I think, you know, I mean, I think what, I'm going to remember what you said, because it's, I think that's a great way to do it, because people are, you know, it's like, you're just dealing with so much that you need your space. And I know people mean well, but it can be overwhelming. So I get it.
I mean, it's having been through so much in my own personal family. I've weirdly gotten good at grief. I don't know if that's the right phrasing of it. I mean, my dad was the first close person. And then my brother Joe, and then my brother Jeff 3 years later. It was my dad in 91, my brother Joe in 94, my brother Jeffrey in 97, and then Carrie in 2002, and then my sister Dana in 2018, and then my sister Judy a couple of years ago. And so it's, you know.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And so it's just kind of, I compartmentalize a lot. You know, and so do a lot. And everybody, I mean, when Carrie died, especially, everybody just showed up here. you know, there was probably 100 people here within a couple of hours of everybody finding out about when there was a press release, boom. And it was a Golden Globe night too. I remember it vividly. It was Golden Globes night. And, it was like, just people just went, I'm coming over. I'm like, okay. You know? And so people came over with food.
Yeah, they always do.
You know, I had so much pasta, you know. Florence Henderson goes, how do I turn on the oven? I'm like, okay, this is how you do that. You know?
Oh my God.
She was one of the first people here. And it was just like, you know, a massive amount of people, because Carrie and Florence were very close. So just to let you know, it was like, okay, what do you, I just had people here.
Right.
And then it was like, I said to my friend, because then my mom's like, well, who's going to talk at the service? And then I talked to a friend of Carrie's and mine. I said to my friend, Sean, I said, will you MC? He goes, absolutely, whatever you need. You know, it was like kind of like that kind of thing, you know? And so these kids, I wish I knew them, you know, so that I could be of help.
Yeah.
But I think the best thing is not, hey, let me know what I can do for you. It's like, do you need me to, I'm going to do your laundry. I'm going to come over and vacuum.
Yeah, because everyone's going to say no. Right. Yeah.
Right. You know, I'm going to come over and vacuum your house. I'm going to, I'm going to make sure you have food. You're always going to have food. So much food. I'm going to come over and do laundry. I'm going to clean your house. I'm going to pick up the kids from school. Yeah. You know, those kind of things, so that the person that's going through this doesn't have to worry about the mundane.
Right. And like I said, I mean, I think people are so used to that humble answer of saying, no, thank you. You know, do you need anything? No, thank you. Don't ask if they need it. Just do it. And I totally agree with that, because there were people that used to ask me, I won't get into the details just to protect the innocent, but, you know, do you want this or do you want, it's like, don't ask me if I want it. If you want to give it to me, give it to me. If you don't want to give it to me, don't give it to me.
Right.
So I totally understand and agree with that sentiment. Just go and do, because that's what people need. And, you know, I think that you're also, I mean, I can't, what they experienced was so shocking, because their brother did it to their parents. And I mean, that's such a unique situation, and they're going to, for the rest of their lives, have to grapple with that and live in that. And it's just, it's so awful. And then I hate bringing this up, but I'm going to, because it's important and necessary, that the president of the United States, his handling of this was not at all surprising.
No.
But it was absolutely disgusting. And I said something on social media that we have to decide who we are. And of course I got the, you know, well, that was forever ago. We, you know, we should have just, it's like, I don't want to hear it from everybody telling me that this is this, you know, I don't know even know what, that this is our new normal. Yes, it is our new normal, but we can't get used to it.
Right.
And we can't accept it. And yes, there are some Republicans or MAGA or whatever, I don't even know, just people with R behind their name, who are condemning this.
Yes.
I mean, you know, like even James Woods, who nobody likes.
Nick Fuentes, Ann Coulter. I mean, there was an entire bank of Fox people condemning this. And it's like, a friend of mine posted it. I think she's a Republican. I'm not sure. How ghoulish it was and how offended she was. And oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And then some people on her Facebook page were like, oh, you have TDS. It's like,
oh my God.
And then going, no, that's AI. No, it isn't. He doubled down. The White House reposted it.
Yeah.
And the White House reposted it.
Right.
So,
my God. It's so disgusting. It's disgusting that we're having to experience this. And I mean, yes, it is our new normal. It absolutely is. We can't say anymore, this can't become normal. It's become normal. But that doesn't mean we have to accept it as our normal. And so it's just so awful and so gross. And there's this, you know, the guy that I've been talking about, and I don't remember his IG name, but he's a doctor on Instagram who's always talking about Trump's dementia. And he was saying specifically, and this is what I've been saying, that, you know, first of all, the doctor showed a picture of MRIs with a patient with dementia as opposed to one who didn't have one. And so, you know, you can kind of see on the top of the, between the skull and the brain, there's kind of like this dark gray area. And that's what it looks like when someone has dementia. And he explains, you know, all the things that happen and how it interferes with your memory. It interferes with how you behave socially. And, you know, I know that Donald Trump's father had Alzheimer's, so I'm sure I don't know if, you know, we don't know what he has. No. Dementia, Alzheimer's, both, whatever. But ultimately, and I don't really know the difference. I know Al Thomas is worse, or is harsher, but he was saying, you know, this doctor gives Trump 3 to 5 months at this point. So, you know, he's basing his, I don't know, length of life left, you know, on what he can see, because nobody is able to get to him, and all the doctors that can get to him are lying. Right. So, but what he was saying is that it takes away, not that Trump ever had any social graces, but Trump does, at least in the past, has understood what not to say. And we know this because of Putin. He never says anything negative about Putin. He's very careful. So he does understand that there are certain things you shouldn't say. And I think that he started displaying the, I don't know, the inappropriate kind of dementia, maybe, behavior when he was, how many times have I said this, talking about Arnold Palmer's penis, when he was jerking off the microphone, or actually giving a fake blowjob to the microphone right before the election. Mm-hmm. So somebody with dementia is going to go back and forth. Every moment isn't going to be about recall or forgetting or inappropriate. They're going to have moments that they seem normal. And then other moments where they can't remember it, or they're inappropriate, or and I think with Alzheimer's in particular, you can get mean. I don't necessarily think you get mean with dementia. I could be wrong about that. So
I know that you can get perturbed.
Yeah.
For sure. Because you're upset. You don't remember something, and people are coming at you, and it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even fathom how frightening that has to be to, you know, have that disease.
My grandmother, I don't know what my grandmother had, but there was a point where she had, something had turned. She didn't know where she lived or something like that. So my mom was staying with her for a little while. And, I guess, like, she was always drinking prune juice. That was her natural remedy. So so she could be regular. And I mean, ever since I can remember, my grandmother would drink prune juice. So I guess she became obsessed with it, because I think she was constipated. Okay. And she had her prune juice or whatever. And my mom had to sleep downstairs because my grandma would come down and, like, drink all the prune juice. So she comes down. And my mom's like, what do you need? She goes, like, I'm coming to get the prune juice. And my mom's like, no, you already had that. You have to go back upstairs. And she started stomping throwing a fit like a child. And I mean, that is so not how my grandmother behaved.
Right.
So not her. She didn't throw fits. You know, she was like the most calm and gentle woman I've ever known in my entire life. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like she wasn't being inappropriate per se, but yeah, she was very irritated and, like you said, frustrated. So I'm not sure exactly what she had. But I think that, you know, we look at this behavior, and regardless of the fact that he's got dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever he fucking has, he's a disgusting, vile rapist who's a convicted felon, and he keeps breaking laws, and he's making our fucking life miserable.
Amen. Preach it, girl. No, I mean, you know, Stephanie mentioned this, and I've thought about it, especially. I mean, I think what's really getting to him when he's lucid is the fact that people loved Rob Reiner and don't love him.
Yes.
I mean, if he pays attention to anything, even Truth Social fucks, I'm sure not everybody on Truth Social likes him, because I'm sure some people are on there for reasons. But apparently, according to people that were looking at that stupid trough that he put up, they were looking at it and saying, hey, and looking down, most of the comments were negative towards what he posted.
That's good. Because it's just, I mean, how much more can we fucking take? I mean, we're going to have to take more, obviously. But it's, you know, it's not like everything's just going to get better now. And even if, you know, he goes to his soul home or it's just like unable, right? Because I think that there is an opportunity where he's just unable to do his job. We're still in it.
Right.
But, you know, let's switch this over, because we've been focusing on all the negative shit. So I like to talk about 2026. Oh, I'm just going to say, there's this man on Twitter. I don't know. I'm sorry, on YouTube. I keep confusing those two sites. But there's this guy on YouTube. He's not a known person. I don't remember his name, so I'm sorry. But
it's just this guy, right? And he's got a decent following, but he likes to break down politics. And he was saying that, and I think this was prior to what happened to Rob Reiner, but he was talking about how the Supreme Court, you know, they didn't want to take on gay marriage, which was a good thing. And just the different things that we're all facing right now. And he was saying he hopes that, I know a lot of focus was on the Supreme Court, but this guy particularly hopes that this regime just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. The worse they are, the more resistant they are, that we are. And right. I kind of agree. He's like, I don't want Trump to die. I want him alive, because the longer he's alive, the more resistance is built. And I think if, you know, I mean, I think we're at the point now, because we didn't have any, we don't have guardrails now. But like his first presidency, obviously we did. And the midterms, we still had a massive blue wave. So what I want to talk about.
Glenn Kirshner is saying the same thing. Because it's accelerating to such a degree, if it were slower, we'd be like Hitler. But because he's doing the stupid so quickly, Hitler was way smarter. I'll give him that. As far as just slowly, let's go, take years to do this instead of 9 months, 10 months. The fact that he's moving so quickly and Stephen Miller is moving so quickly is good, because people are waking up faster.
Yeah. And I think that that's going to make a difference in the midterms, because now if, you know, we're going to have all these people with these ridiculously high premiums or no health insurance. I mean, I have a girlfriend, she's a dancer and she's like 3 years older than me. So 2 or 3 years older, because she's a dancer, she's been a ballet dancer. She's already had two hip surgeries. And she was telling me during the Biden administration, she's like, you know, I'm getting these done now because I don't know if I'm going to even be able to have insurance if Republicans take over. And she was really smart, because the last time I talked to her, she's like, I'm just not going to be able to afford it. Excuse me. And it's just, it's upsetting, because so many people are going to be knocked off their insurance. But what this will do is it's going to make people rush to the polls. Now, they're going to try to stop it. They're going to do everything they can to stop it, but they're not going to be able to. And what I really want to emphasize is, and then I'll ask you about, I don't know, positive feelings you have about this, but I feel like we have enough time right now. I mean, we're a year out. So people need to make their plans about voting now.
I agree.
I don't know if it's getting time off of work, if it's possible, whatever it is, because, you know, you can't use the excuse of, well, you know, it caught me by surprise. It's like, we have plenty of time. We know what election day is going to be. We have plenty of time. And unfortunately, we don't have, you know, like a national day off or doing it on the weekends or whatever. But I have this feeling that we're going to see that it's going to be a much bigger blue wave than in 2018. So how are you feeling about that?
I think you're right. If there is no rat fuckery.
Well, there will be rat fuckery. So that's
I mean, to the point where it, like, you know, votes are changed kind of rat fuckery.
Not the
usual stuff.
Not the usual, right.
I think that people are motivated. What I suggest to people out there is, first off, make sure you're registered, and continue to make sure you're registered if you are in a state that is known to purge people a month before a vote.
Right. Yeah, check all the time. I mean,
constantly
especially, and right before you go, too, make sure.
Constantly check. And God forbid you are thrown off when you walk into to vote and you get a provisional ballot. Find out prior to voting what to do with your provisional ballot to prove that you're a voter. Because what happens is those ballots don't get counted until they're needed. They don't get counted because they're not sure you're a voter. And so you have to, like, I think in California, what I would do were I to be given a provisional ballot is I would go down to the county registrar, which is not easy for a lot of people, but if you really want to make sure your vote counts, you go down to the county registrar, bring your ID, passport, whatever you need to bring to prove you're a citizen and you can vote in that county. Bring that with you and say, hey, I was given a provisional ballot. I want my ballot to count. Because you should get a receipt for your vote. Bring that with you. And make sure your vote counts, because every vote fucking counts.
Yes, it does. And we've been seeing that, because we've been seeing all the special elections. For the most part, Democrats have been winning big. And, you know, but we also know about those elections where it's, you know, by a small number. And they really do. They make a huge difference. And I mean, hello, this is it, people. I mean, this is literally it. It's going to be that we save democracy or it gets lost for generations.
Yeah.
So
no, I mean, it's serious.
This is the time. Which I'm going to switch over now to Susie Wiles. And
and apparently there's more to drop. Apparently there's more.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. That. We just have a little bit of it. There's more that they're going to publish. So this is going to be an interesting couple of months.
Well, it's funny that she says that it's taken out of context.
Please.
Oh really? And I think, I want to just kind of talk about the fact that those pictures of all of the people are so unflattering, and that photographer deserves all the awards. There was also pictures I saw up on Blue Sky of, you know, it was like J.D. Vance standing next to like the light switch.
Right. I think he looks tiny.
Yeah, he looks tiny. Susie Wiles too. And then I think though somebody on Twitter said, and I don't remember who it is, so I'm sorry, because it was just based on the picture of Leavitt. And she said something like, this is sexist. But then it was pointed out that it's all four, at least all, we've got four of them. And it was two men and two women. And Allison Gill was like, you know, let's not forget that this is basically, I'm gonna go look up her quote, and I should have had it available right in front of me. But ultimately her point was, you know, this was done on purpose. And you know, and it's kind of like exposing. And I thought that it was just absolutely wonderful that this photographer chose to do this. Because we normally, I can't find it, but we're normally seeing more flattering pictures.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, the Republicans are so good at doing that to liberals. Well, here it is. Allison says, don't get it twisted. Those close-up Vanity Fair photos aren't mean. Their art. Hate corrodes the container it's carried in, exposing evil and invoking a response is art. So, yes, I think that was obviously intentional, but it's like, yeah, they're always using really unattractive pictures of liberals. So, haha. Well, I tried not to do that. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, Stephen Miller can't take a good picture because he's evil. I showed Lonnie. I said, you know who this is? He goes, no. I said, that's Stephen Miller. He's 20 years younger than I am. And he's like, what? And I'm like, I'm not fucking kidding. He's 20 fucking years younger than I am. This is what evil does.
Yeah.
It comes out and it shows who you, the picture of Dorian Gray. He was evil. He looked great when his picture didn't look so good. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's the internal
ugly from
crap.
The inside out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just ugly, ugly, ugly people.
Yeah. My grandmother had said that wonderful one I was just speaking of. She, excuse me, something like when she was a little girl, there was this really beautiful woman and she was so taken with her beauty. And then that woman was an asshole. And she said, all of a sudden, like the beauty just was gone.
Yeah,
it just, you know, I mean, so it is literally only skin deep. And if you're an ugly person on the inside, it comes out. And that's with Stephen Miller. Oh, my God. He's just, what is fucking wrong with these people? They're so horrible. I'm not even going to go over what Megyn Kelly said. I'm not going to retweet it. I'm not going to really talk about what she said.
What happened to her? I mean, what Donald said about her, why the fuck does she defend him ever?
The thing that makes me so angry about her, and I mean, she's a beautiful woman, and I know people would say what we were just talking about. She's not beautiful, but no,
aesthetically speaking, she's pretty.
Yes, if you're going to look at what human beings consider
pretty.
Attractive, I think she's had too much face work done. But especially when she was younger, of course, she was beautiful, and she's also articulate, and she's intelligent, and she knows how to express herself well. And instead of using all of those things for good, she's so fucking vile. It's unbelievable. She is like one of them. I mean, she has so trumped Ann Coulter, because Coulter does at least come across as a human on occasion.
Right.
And, you know, suggesting that it's not, basically it's suggesting it's not rape if you're under 50, you know, if you're 15 or older. That was horrible. And then she basically said that Rob Reiner didn't know how to talk to his son. And so she blamed it on him. I mean, I'm not even going to say the quote because I don't want to give her that much attention. But it's like, what is fucking wrong with her? Something is so seriously wrong with these people. And I just, you know, I'm just going to bring this up because I've talked before and I can't remember if I told you this, but, you know, I have a MAGA relative. And recently, I think it was like in August, we had a bit of a falling out. All I did was she asked me a question. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even about politics, and I'm not going to get into our personal affairs, but she asked me a question, and it kind of was the question that got me going. And so we had a conversation up until that point where I was just not – we weren't talking about – we never talk about politics. She'll talk about politics, and I just don't say anything.
Right.
And so this has happened so many times. She's not mean to me. She doesn't attack me, but she will throw out these little things, and then, you know – if I say something, then I'm at fault, even though right. She's the one bringing it up. And it seems right-wingers do this constantly. Mm-hmm. So I just don't say anything to keep the peace. And it's been years of this. And again, she's not mean to me. She doesn't pick fights with me. She does throw out little digs to liberals and things like that. But she isn't, like I said, it's not like she's aggressively mean, but she asked me a particular question, and that was the question that set me off. So when I was replying to her, I just kind of never stopped. And I did give the listicle of you said this and you did this and you said this. Mm-hmm. And she just couldn't take it and hung up on me. So that was like, we've never had anything like that ever. Nothing wow. like that. We've never had a disagreement. We've never had an argument. And I wasn't screaming at her, but I was emotional. And so, you know, her birthday was in October. I sent her a birthday card and I told mm-hmm. her that I loved her and I sincerely wished things were different. So she sent me a card this Christmas and I sent her one. And I'm not calling her. And if she calls me, I mean, I would take it, but it would make me uncomfortable. And I'm just like, this is happening. Do you have relatives that you're dealing like with this shit? Do you have to deal with this?
I don't really speak to, it's funny because it's not my generation. It's the generation below me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not all of them. It's a few.
Right.
And I, you know, I just don't really talk to them about it.
Yeah.
And I do have.
Are they full blown MAGA?
Maybe not now, you know, they're full on, they were Tea Partiers.
Yeah.
So I mean, I haven't talked to them about politics in a long time. I mean, I remember, I think it was, it might've been in 2017 or 20. Yeah. It might've been when my sister passed away. Mm. I was at a funeral at her service, and one of my nephews said, oh yeah, 3 million people voted for Hillary that were undocumented, and I just burst into laughter.
Oh my God.
I said, no, they didn't.
Oh my
no,
God.
No, that's just not a thing. He goes, no, it's true. I'm like, no, it's not. And I laughed. I'm like, you're foolish.
Yeah.
Because laughter is the only way to deal with somebody that's mm-hmm. deluded. It's like, no, look it up, buddy. You can't yeah. do that. It's not possible. Trust me, it's not possible. And so, you know, I, that was the last time I talked to anybody about that, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of leave it be. In fact, my sister Dana was very adamant about not talking politics, but her husband brought it up once. I'm like, he did it.
He did
he started
it.
Fault. He started it. Then she just laughed. I said, don't give me shit. He started it. But I can't deal with, okay. So a friend of mine that I knew from the time I was 17, mm-hmm. Right after Charlie Kirk passed away. Now, when he passed away, Sean and I were recording our show.
Wow.
And then I think Bob, yeah, it was a Wednesday. So Bob had come on, he goes, hey, did you hear about Charlie Kirk? And we're like, what? You know, so we looked it up and it was that day. So there was, you know, the fog of news, mm-hmm. not knowing what's going on. And the first thing out of my mouth was, I hope he's okay.
Right.
Because, ew. What happened to him?
I know.
In front of his children and his wife, and I have thoughts about her, but his wife.
Yeah, we all do. Uh-huh.
And anybody else that was there to witness that. And then him having to have that happen to him. And so I was like, God, I hope he's going to be okay. Because that's my initial instinct.
Yeah.
And then my now ex-friend, apparently, because she dropped me from Facebook. She said, I've been seeing all these vile comments from the left. I said, I haven't. And then, like, see, I know she blocked me.
Wow.
All I said was, I haven't. I said, not anybody I know. And boom, I was blocked.
Yeah, I told Bob. I'm like, did you hear what happened to Charlie Kirk? And he's like, no. And then I told him. And I was like, I don't remember if I said I hope, because I heard that he got shot in the neck.
Yeah.
And I pretty much knew. I thought, I don't think there's a way you survive that.
Yeah.
And sure. And I was worried. I was very upset. It was very upsetting for me. I did not like Charlie Kirk at all, but this Same. Is not what I wanted to happen.
Hell
I don't
no.
wish this on anybody.
Same.
And then unfortunately I saw it because I was scrolling and there was somebody who posted it on X, and I was posting on X because I work for MSW Media and mm-hmm. I have to go over there and post. I don't really spend a lot of time on X, but as I was scrolling, there was a video and it just started. Like, I stopped and it just started playing, and it was literally within seconds I saw everything, and it was pretty close up. And I was like, oh my God, it's like, I can see it in my mind's eye. Now I will see it for the rest of my life. And of course, I mean, it's jarring because we're humans. And even if the person who's getting hurt, that's like, I can't watch fights.
Yeah.
I don't care if I hate the person. I don't like seeing people. It's one thing to see it in a movie.
Right.
Because you know it's fake.
Right. Right.
But it's like just – and it's hard sometimes just to see it in a movie.
Yeah.
But it's like in real life, it was absolutely horrifying. So it's like, yeah, that would – I didn't know any – I mean, obviously there are randos
right.
who are going to say shitty things. And
absolutely.
We don't – you know, some of them are legit liberals. Some of them are, I'm sure, people in Russia pretending to be liberals.
Exactly.
But either way, it doesn't matter what the rando says on the street. It matters what the president says. It matters what our leaders
Thank
say.
Thank you.
And no leaders. Yeah, no leaders ever celebrated that.
No, not a one. You had Jimmy Kimmel crying on his show
yeah.
about it. And then you had Rob Reiner with Piers Morgan talking about how horrific it was. And neither one of them is the president of the United States.
Right.
And I mean, the fact that Charlie Kirk got the flags lowered, but the two National
right.
Guard people did not.
I hate this fucking timeline.
I know, we are so in the upside down. I don't know what karma that this country is paying back, but it's bad.
I heard somebody talking about a really esoteric kind of idea that our, how did they say it? It's like all the splintering within our own psyches is kind of playing out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if that's true, but I think that there's been so many problems that even when things were good, they were only good for a portion of the people. Right.
Right. Right.
And so, you
Always.
Know, if you're a marginalized group, if you're, you know, I mean, it's all a matter of degree. It's like white women experience a certain amount of discrimination, but black women experience a lot more than a white woman because they're black and a woman.
And a
so
woman.
It's like,
right.
Right. So it's like it's just going, you know, it's all these degrees of why things are harder when you're not white. And it's not just that, because we've also got the issue of two, you know, there's. Citizens United. There's mm-hmm. the whole issue with our healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
And what I, you know, if you're going to look at history and just look at how things have gone, it seems to be, we've seen similar kinds of, I don't know, patterns before where things just get too fucking crazy and then everything crashes down and then it's rebuilt. And
right.
I think obviously it's all crashing down right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it should have, but I'm trying to look at this as an opportunity, because this is going to serve as an opportunity. And it's up to the Democrats, really. It's up to the Democrats and the independents and the Republicans who are, I don't know what the word is, like willing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of them all, they hate Trump, but they won't say it.
Right.
They're going to all follow suit because they're afraid, because they're greedy, blah, blah, blah. But we have an opportunity. We're going to have an opportunity to kind of remake this country. We're going to have so many things are going to come crashing down. So many things have already come crashing down that we could really make sweeping changes. And in order to make sweeping changes, we need to have really progressive, strong-willed, kind of like determined leaders. And I'm happy to – I don't care who they are. Like, I don't care if it's a centrist. As long as that centrist is like, okay, let me just give you an example, because somebody had, you know, I was talking with Brian Karam, and we were, Brian Karam was bringing up Mark Kelly because Mark Kelly was standing up to Trump in a way that we haven't seen other leaders do.
Right. Right.
And it kind of occurred to me in that moment, oh my God, he could be president. I think that this is might be the making of, you know, the next candidate. And some people, I said that, and somebody argued about his centrism. I'm like, oh my God, he's not going, presidents don't make the laws.
Thank
presidents,
you.
You know, it's like, if he get, and plus he's, what do you think he's going to do with gun violence? His fucking wife was shot.
No shit.
And so he's going to be great on, you know, gun legislation. He's going to sign everything that the Democrats put forward. It's not like he's going to say no. So who gives a shit if he's kind of more of a centrist, because he's the fucking president.
Right.
He's not going to decide everything.
Right.
That's what the fucking Congress and the Senate is for. Oh my God, I'm just going up. But it's like, I wish people would be more clear about this and stop freaking out. But I think that regardless of, you know, if he's considered a centrist or if we get a progressive, whatever, I think we absolutely need to have sweeping progressive legislation.
Absolutely.
When we win democracy back, so we can make these incredible changes and at least kind of secure the Democratic Party as the leader for a good long time. I don't know how long. Yeah. So people tend to forget. So, you know, once you get all cushy comfortable, you forget and you start going, oh, the fascist looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it's when Joe Biden was running, everybody's like, he's too center right, and it's like, put progressive legislation on his desk, he will sign it.
Yeah. And we're not talking about the Bill Clinton era anymore, because, you know, like, there's that whole Bill Clinton was the best Republican president we've ever had, got rid of Glass-Steagall and all that shit. Obviously, they have power. But I think in this day and age, just like what you said, he's going to sign everything. It's not, or, you know, he or she. Mm-hmm. But I just think we need to get away. You know, there's people, and I mean, when we looked at that last past special election, New York and Virginia, it was the same message, but mm-hmm. we have Mom Donnie, who is super progressive.
Yep.
Then we've got Abigail Spanberger, who is, I think, a little bit more centrist, but still a progressive person.
Absolutely.
But they were running on the same message. And that's, you know, that's what people responded to. And I think that, you know, I think we're going to get there. But I mean, how hopeful are you? Because like you just said, as long as there's not rat fuckery, how afraid of you are rat fuckery? Like, how do you feel about moving forward where we're going? Because we've been at this for a year now.
Well, I think that because, weirdly, Rob Reiner's death might break a lot of the MAGAs away from him. Yeah. I mean, Nick fucking Fuentes, who loves Adolf Hitler and thinks he's a swell guy, thinks that what Donald did was evil? I mean, he's evil for a lot of things, but compare and contrast a nasty, awful, disgusting trough versus Hitler.
Right.
In all of his glory. I'm sorry, but as bad as what Donald did, it ain't Hitler yet.
Right.
And so, I mean, friends of mine argue with me about that. It's like, honey, this is the beginning of it. It's not the end yet.
No.
It started slowly. He's going faster, but it did start slowly.
Yes.
Just read a fucking history book, people. But I think that people, I mean, you've got Madge. I mean, smart enough lady. She's waiting till her pension kicks in to leave.
Right.
But not that she needs it, because she's very wealthy. But regardless, she's not stupid.
No, she's not.
No, she's not. She's very cunning. Mm-hmm. She's leaving. And there are rumors that a lot of others are going to start leaving before the election, which could mean a Hakeem Jeffries speaker. Before the election, which could halt a bunch of shit.
Oh, wait a minute. Look, this is just coming down, AP. Republicans defy Speaker Johnson to force House vote on extending ACA subsidies.
Good. Mm.
Interesting. Okay, we'll see.
Well, I mean, that's all they can do is vote for it, and then it's got to go to the stupid Senate, which is going to be stupid Senate.
I know. But, you know, I keep hoping. And then, okay, so just the last question I've got for you, the last question of my last podcast of 2025. How are you celebrating? Like, what are you doing this holiday season? How are you celebrating it? Are you all decorated out? Do you care? Are you going to parties? What's going on?
Okay, we don't decorate because of the cats.
Oh, right. At so all? Nothing?
No, nothing. Wow. Not even. I never did outside. That was just, no. I've never done it. My old roommate Andy did it 1 year, but never, because I'm like, eh, F it. and a tree, there's no way. I mean, our other cat, she was fine. She couldn't have cared less. But these two, it'd be down and it would be bad. So no. We have our cards. We have all the Christmas cards up on our mantle. And so when the cats jump up there, I know when they're up there because they just all fall down. But yeah, we might go to my brother's, but his wife just had knee surgery. So they're waiting to see how she feels for Christmas Eve. Lonnie's mom was going to come out on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but they've decided they're coming out on Saturday. So we're going to celebrate with them on Saturday.
Okay.
And then I don't know if we're going to go up and see my mom or not. So yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, my favorite holiday is Thanksgiving.
Why?
It's less pressure.
Yeah, it's true.
And up until the past, I don't know, maybe 10 years, 15 years, when I first moved into this house, I would just have friends over for mm-hmm. Thanksgiving. And I always made a lasagna because that's what I can make. and so my friend Sean one time came over and he made a turducken.
What's that?
It's a turkey stuffed with a duck stuffed with a hen.
Whoa.
And it's like a million calories per slice with stuffing in between each layer of animal. It's all deboned, so right. It's easy to cut. But I was like, I haven't eaten turkey or anything like that in forever. And at that time, I wasn't. Right. But I was like, cool, just you make that. So Sean was here all day. You go with your turducken, go. But yeah, I mean, my Thanksgivings were all, hey, if you don't want to go home or can't go home, come on over. So right. We'd have between 15 and sometimes 35 people here.
Wow.
And everybody would bring a meal. I mean, I have warmers for food and I bought so mm-hmm. much stuff to just lay stuff out. And, you know, if it was nice, we'd all eat outside or whatever. And, you know, no major drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, Lonnie went to his mom's in Palm Springs for Thanksgiving. I was sick. So I was like, I don't want to get anybody sick because the average age, not counting Lonnie, was like 70. And so I'm like, I do not want to get people in their 70s sick.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be responsible for that. And it was a weird, I don't think it was COVID. It was a weird flu, I think, because it was very strange. Hmm. And what was weird was Lonnie's mom had it. And a couple of the people that were in at the Thanksgiving event at his mom's, they were like, yeah, we had the same thing.
Hmm.
Like, okay, so it's going around, but it wasn't COVID. It was weird.
Yeah, no, I know. I got a cold, but it was really low grade. So that wasn't it.
But yeah. So, I mean, in general, we don't really, I mean, Christmas, I don't have kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I had little kids, it'd be different,
mm-hmm.
but I don't, I mean, we used to go to the Conways on Christmas Eve.
As in Tim?
Uh-huh.
No, the Conways.
Well, you know, that's what they are.
I know, it's your life.
But no, I mean, it was funny because my dad used to go for years and years and years, and then he passed away. And so that year, because he passed away in June of 1991, so that Christmas, I just showed up because my dad would bring me, and I just showed
right.
up. And so Sharky, his Mr. Conway's wife, opens the door and, hi, honey, come on in. I said, is it okay? She goes, yeah, of course. And 1 year, my little sister and I were going to go, and I literally got an email from Sharky going, we're in Del Mar. Don't go to the house. I said, I'm on my way. I'm sorry. I'm just going to sit on the stoop and wait. we're not doing it this year. But, I mean, they had these great Christmas Eve gatherings, and then the grandchildren would open presents. It was always very nice. I saw at least five of the six kids that he had. On average, four to five of them. and so it was just a lot of fun over there. And it was very, and it was a lot of pasta because Sharky mm-hmm. is Italian. Yes, there was turkey and all that, but it was more, and it was not formal. You mm-hmm. know, it was not, everybody sat wherever the hell they wanted to sit. I mean, there was a dining room table, but everybody kind of sat wherever the hell they wanted to sit. So it was kind of, it was, those were fun nights. Those were really fun nights. And I do miss doing that.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I know. Like for all these years, my mom and I were, well, my mom moved away from Los Angeles in 2003. So I was in Los Angeles by myself from 2003 to 2009. So whenever I would do Christmas, I would just like go to wherever she was. Sometimes I would also go to Maryland. But I remember in 20, I think it was 2017, 2018. I think it was 2018. Yeah, Bob and I were in Santa Rosa and there was no family and it was just the two of us. And I gotta say, I wouldn't mind doing that again. I mean, we did it in 2020, obviously. It was just the two of us for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. And while I, enjoy some, like we usually have fun family celebrations and, it's not a bad time or anything like that. It's not like all awkward and freakish, but it's like I'm used to, I think when I was younger, I used to feel sorry for myself because sometimes it was just me and my mom. And now I'm just like, oh, those were the days. So it's like no matter what you get, you're like, oh, that was better. So, but I think this year it's funny because, as you know, I went a little like not nuts with de decorating, but it looks like a Kimberly version of a Hallmark Christmas movie, just sans the religion. And there's just a lot like every and the thing is because I work out in the living room, I wanted to just like deck the halls. And I thought while I'm sitting there working, I just want to look around. And especially it's been great because it snowed here twice already. Although one time it was overnight, which pissed me off because then I can't look at it. But one day it was snowing. So it's like I could just sit there and look out the window and look at the snow, and it was like, it's so exciting. I mean, then I had to go out in it, and it was like, that wasn't exciting.
That's
But
different. Yeah, going out in it is
yeah, I
way
had to go out in
different.
it. It wasn't too bad because there was snow on my car, but I just brushed it off. It didn't like freeze on, so that was fun. But yeah, I mean, I just, we're doing our typical family, whatever. And Bob and I can't spend Christmas Day together because he has to go to his family. I'm going to my family. That's what's like weird. It's like now it's just kind of splintered and every year is going to be different and I don't know, so whatever. I just like the decor. That's my favorite part. And this year I'm going to be baking not only for the family but for the firemen. And I've told this story before, but the funny, I'm not going to do it this year, but one time I asked a fireman at the grocery store. I was like, I always see them shopping. So I was like, "Hey, if I make cookies for you, will you eat them? Because I'm a stranger and you don't know me." And they're like, "Well, absolutely eat them." So I made all these cookies one year. Oh my God, I had so many cookies. And I did those like sugar angel cookies and I wrote bite me and eat me on the angels and I put them on the bottom. So, I put all of the chocolate chips and everything on top. So once they got to the bottom, they saw my little nasty angels. But I'm not going to give nasty angels this year, but I am going to make firemen the cookies because I feel like, you know what? They're right up the street from us and I'm just so grateful they're there. And they, firefighters are just need to be celebrated and appreciated. So
Absolutely. Now we
that's
my
what
neighbor
I'm going
across
to
the
do.
street, my neighbor across the street, his one of his housemates is a paramedic.
Oh, yeah.
And the closest fire station is barely a mile from our
Yeah.
house. So it's like right there. And because he's in the neighborhood, if anything happened in the neighborhood, boom, they're here
Right.
even faster than probably normal.
Exactly.
So it is nice
Well,
having him in the neighborhood for sure.
it's always nice talking to you, Jody,
You
because
too, young lady.
you're easy like Sunday morning, and I needed you because I feel so brain foggy today. I think I need like 2 full days to recover. I mean, mostly I'm okay. Today I'm fine, but I was so out of it yesterday. But it's like, I'm so glad I'm talking to Jody because she's so easy like Sunday morning.
You're so cute. I love talking to you too. You guys got to come visit, both
I
of
know
you.
we are going to at some point. I always say that, but we are. I know it. I know we are. And who knows, it might be next year. And I didn't,
Yay!
I have yet to record the intro and outro, or just the intro to the show. But I do want to mention to everybody that Jody is a host of the Politics Bar along with Sean
Politics
Pierce. So
bar.
the Politics Bar. And you have super, super, su I mean, you had Martin Sheen on there. So I mean,
We
like, holy crap.
did.
You got some big names on that show. And it's a good show. And everybody needs
It's
to check it out.
great.
I was on last week, so
Yeah.
obviously it's a great show.
And we're gonna have for next 2 weeks because we're off, but we are having new content.
Oh,
We
cool.
are yeah, we're doing drinks of the day every day. all 10 days that we're off, and then doing new content as well with guests. So it's not exactly it is best ofs, but there's new content every day. So hopefully that will entertain those that are, you know, not wanting to deal with their family.
Yes, and I'm still living back in the dark ages, and I'm taking off, and MSW Media is not going to get the same attention that it gets for 1 week.
That's
so
fine.
I need at least 1 week.
Absolutely, so, you need it. You deserve it.
Yes. So, you know, Jody, big, big hugs. Hugs to you and Lonnie. Say hello to Lonnie, who we share a last name.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and all that good stuff.
All right, honey, you too. It's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating, and just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.